I was standing there, irresolute. Binoculars still lifted, trying to decide whether to climb down to the exposed ledges and confront the inhabitants, or to retreat to my camp. When I felt that lifting chill along the back and neck that tells one with absolute certainty that he is no longer alone. I lowered the binoculars and turned slowly. The Bakura were there, at least 30 of them, standing in a semicircle that left me no retreat to the forest. I do not know what I expected. Naked savages, perhaps, with fierce expressions and necklaces of teeth. Perhaps I had half expected to find the kind of bearded, wild-haired hermits that travelers sometimes encountered in the Moshe Mountains on Hebron. Whatever I had held in mind, the reality of the Bakura did not fit the template. The people who had approached me so silently were short. None came higher than my shoulder, and swathed in roughly woven dark robes that covered them from neck to toe. When they moved, as some did now, they seemed to glide over the rough ground like wraiths. From a distance, their appearance reminded me of nothing so much as a gaggle of diminutive Jesuits at a new Vatican enclave. I almost giggled then, but realized that such a response might well be a sign of rising panic. The Bakura showed no outward signs of aggression to cause such a panic. They carried no weapons, their small hands were empty as their expressions. Their physiognomy is hard to describe succinctly. They are bald, all of them. That baldness, the absence of any facial hair, and the loose robes that fell in a straight line to the ground, all conspired to make it very difficult to tell the men from the women. The group now confronting me, more than 50 by this time, looked to be all of roughly the same age, somewhere between 40 and 50 standard years. Their faces were smooth, the skin tinged with a yellowish cast that I guessed might be associated with generations of ingesting trace minerals in the Chalma and other local plant life. One might be tempted to describe the round faces of the Bakura as cherubic until, upon closer inspection, that impression of sweetness fades and is replaced by another interpretation, placid idiocy. As a priest, I have spent enough time on backward worlds to see the effects of an ancient genetic disorder, variously called Down syndrome, Mongolism, or generation ship legacy. This, then, was the overall impression created by the 60 or so dark-robed little people who had approached me. I was being greeted by a silent, smiling band of bald, retarded children. I reminded myself that these were almost certainly the same group of smiling children who had slit Tuck's throat while he slept and left him to die like a butchered pig. The closest Bakura stepped forward, stopped 5 paces from me, and said something in a soft monotone. "Just a minute," I said, and fumbled out my comm log. I tapped in the translator function.
"Beetet otamena lot kresfemket?"
asked the short man in front of me. I slipped on the hear plug just in time to hear the comm log's translation. There was no lag time. The apparently foreign language was a simple corruption of archaic seedship English, not so far removed from the indigene argo of the plantations.
"You are the man who belongs to the cross-shaped cruciform?"
interpreted the comm log, giving me 2 choices for the final noun. "Yes," I said, knowing now that these were the ones who had touched me the night I slept through Tuck's murder, which meant that these were the ones who had murdered Tuck. I waited. The hunting mazer was in my pack. The pack was set against a small chalma, not 10 paces from me. Half a dozen Bakura stood between me and it. It did not matter. I knew at that instant that I would not use a weapon against another human being, even a human being who had murdered my guide and might well be planning to murder me at any second. I closed my eyes and said a silent act of contrition. When I opened my eyes, more of the Bikura had arrived. There was a cessation of movement, as if a quorum had been filled, a decision reached. "Yes," I said again into the silence, "I am the one who wears the cross." I heard the comlog speaker pronounce the last word, "Kresfem." The Bikura nodded in unison and, as if from long practice as altar boys, all went to one knee, robes rustling softly in a perfect genuflection.